الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي دون شيء بعد الحمد لله وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, to perform one farz salat in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward is equivalent to 1,000 farz salat elsewhere in the world or in any other masjid. One farz salat in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward is of 1,000 farz salat. And this reward that is given is to men folks and women folks, both. Masturat ko bhi ye sawab milta hai, mardon ko bhi ye sawab milta hai. One question that is usually raised is with regards to women coming to the masjid and performing salat with the appointed imam of the masjid, as in the congregation, in that manner like how the men folks perform salat. The ulama have differences of opinion. To understand this masla, it is very, very important. If in a locality a masjid provides that facility that there is a completely separate entrance from the men and there is complete isolation where 100% parda is maintained, a separate entrance, a separate wuzu khana, ablution area, and separate toilets, and where the women perform salah, the women can't see the men, and the men can't see the women. This is one basic condition. Secondly, the woman that comes to the masjid to perform salah, she should be covered from head to toe, all in full burqa. That is a must. Now we can't have ladies coming to the masjid wearing burqa that is fashionable. A lot of the women nowadays, they tend to wear burqa, and even in their burqa, the style of wearing the burqa is such that it is an invitation to the ghair maharim that look at me. So that is najayiz. How you wear your scarf. Burqa means that when someone looks at you, he has no idea of the figure or who that particular lady is. That is burqa. Like in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing atikaf, and in the night two of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to meet him, and they were fully covered in burqa, and the companions were passing by. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped them and said that I am not talking to someone who is my ghair mahram, but they are my maharim. And this story was mentioned to you, the hadith, even in Jummah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, "Ash-shaytanu yajri ka majri dami," that the shaitan flows inside the human being like how blood flows. Muhaddiseen have said that if the companions were aware that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was talking to the maharim, to his own wife, then there was no need for Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam to explain to them. But the way the burqa was worn was in such a way that even the companions could not know who Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was talking to. So when a woman comes to the masjid, she should be covered from head to toe completely. With that, the husband should also know where she is going. So it's not jais for her to exit the house and to go and perform namaz in the masjid whilst the husband is phoning elsewhere that, do you know where my wife is? That's not jais. So she has to take permission from the husband, where the husband is satisfied that whilst her exit from the house until her entry to the masjid, the door of fitna will not open. With all these conditions, some of the fuqaha have said then if a woman asks permission that I want to go and perform salah in the masjid, then permission should be given to her. In the case of Masjid Umar, for an example, if the women are listening at home now, they say, okay, fine, we want to come and perform salat in Masjid Umar. You can't. Why? We haven't got that facility. But if that facility is provided, like alhamdulillah, in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that facility is even more profound than Masjid Haram. The Saudi government faces a problem in Makkatul Mukarramah because men and women must have that opportunity to make tawaf of Khana Kaaba. And it is this tawaf that is the difficult point. It is this tawaf. And I think it is in the months of Ramadan and also in the time of Hajj, in the months of Hajj, that there is no one there in the mataf separating the men from women because of the massive gatherings they have there and that force of people going in one direction. But other than that, in the other months, there are special people there who stop women from coming too close to Khana Kaaba, pushing them aside, that if you want to do tawaf, do it from the outskirts. If you want to do tawaf, do it from the outskirts. Even the masla of tawaf, if there are a lot of people there, a lot of men there, it is not jais for a woman to make tawaf of Khana Kaaba where she is pushed from all corners, from all types of people. It is not jais. She should select a time for herself, possibly after tahajjud or after fajr or after zuhr if it's hot. Sometimes if it's too hot, there are not so many people there making tawaf. Whatever time is suitable and where there are not so many men around where parda can be maintained, that is the time she does tawaf of Khana Kaaba. The Saudi government have worked extremely hard for this. Extremely hard. Even people like, and this is what one must give credit to the Saudi government, when it comes to the parda, at least in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in Masjid Haram. People like Albani, who was he was a teacher, a professor in Masjid the Medina University, and Albani spoke out against parda, that it is not important, parda is not important, and for that he had to leave Saudi Arabia, and I believe that he is in Syria, wallahu alam. So they are very, very strict. And when you see Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alhamdulillah, the entry for the women is completely, completely separate. The toilets are separate. Everything inside, there are police women there looking after everything. Everything is dealt with women. So that is why some of the ulama say that if one is not a resident of Madinatul Munawwara, then if she wants to go and perform salat in Masjid Nabwi, because that facility is there, she is allowed to go and perform salat in the masjid, behind the appointed imam. But then we even get some scholars people like Marhum Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhianwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who in his fatawa disagrees with this also. He says no, that the women folk should not go and perform salat in the masjid. He says no, that is his opinion. But there are ulama who give ijazah, that if all these conditions are there, then it is jais for a woman to go. But even with all these conditions being met, the fuqaha, the contemporary ulama, especially ulama-i ahnaf, the fatwa they give that it is better for the woman to perform her salat in her own private chamber, in her own private room, than her local masjid. It is better, it is more rewarding. And the hadith they produce for that is the famous hadith of Hazrat Umm Humayd radiallahu ta'ala anha. She had the habit of performing all her namaz 5 times a day in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behind Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to perform all my namaz behind you. That was the love she had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that I am aware of your wish. I am aware of your wish. But it is more rewarding for you to perform your salat in your own room than behind me. Now if Huzur alayhi salat wa salam is saying to a sahabiya that it is better for you to perform salat in the house, that is why Mufti Yusuf Ludhiani rahmatullah alayhi looks at this hadith, the hadith that are there, and says, well, if this fatwa was given decision by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, then it is better for the women to perform salat in their own rooms. And safety is in that. It is very, very difficult. In fact, sometimes even if the entry is too close, it is difficult to maintain that parda. So these are the conditions. If all these conditions are there, then if the woman decides to go and there's facility provided, then the ulama give ijazat. Especially in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women do have that opportunity. They want to make ziyarat of Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also give salatu wa salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore ijazat is given to them to perform in Masjid Haram and also in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full parda from head to toe. Alhamdulillah, there are some women who at least honor and respect the haram of Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when they enter the masjid, they cover the face. And the covering the face, that is parda, that is very, very important. Don't take any offense to what I say, my brothers, even for the women who are listening at home. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said to the women that were around her, that if Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was alive today, she was only 18 when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Kitni umar thi? Sirf 18 saal. How young she was. But yet we receive approximately 2/3 of Islam from her. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam passed away and she was 18 years of age. The first half is that. Imagine the knowledge Allah blessed her with. So she says, if Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was alive today, I know the mizaj, I know the tabi'at, the temperament of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, he would stop women from performing salat in the masjid. That is very, very important. A lot of the people who come to make ziyarat of the masjid, the first question they put forward, and they love that. Subhanallah. They say, are women allowed to come to the masjid? And they make a mockery. They make a mockery. They really don't understand the real reason why women don't come to the masjid. It's not about someone being superior, the male folks being superior and women being inferior. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. That is not the case. But it is parda. In Islam, there is a separation, there is hijab, there is a veil. subhanAllah, where men are in a different area and women are in a different area. Because we don't have that facility, that is why women don't come here. And it is the facility that is the main reason. When someone came to me and he said to me, why don't women come and why are men and women separate? So I said, for facility. Kya hai? Facility ki wajah se. Subhanallah. When you go to shops, you have men's clothes downstairs and women's clothes upstairs. Can you go to the shopkeeper and say, oh, you are prejudiced and you are discriminating women or discriminating men from women or whatever. The clothes should be together, men and women. Taki insaf ho. Can you imagine a woman fighting with Mike Tyson? Can you say, oh, equality, equality, equality? Are bhai, equality? Allah has created men different from women. Physically they are weak. Men are stronger. Har cheez mein, ab dekhe sports mein. Men are separate, women are separate. Ho hi nahi sakta. Alhamdulillah, Allah ka fazl o karam hai, until today, even when it comes to toilets, men, separate, women, separate. Allah na kare kabhi aisa ko unisex system aa jaye. Yani, besharmi, there is no limits. When modesty is taken out, haya is taken out, anything can happen. That is why one of the signs of qiyamah, Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, has said, that is why you get people today who are nudists. They say that it is only natural to walk naked. It is only natural to walk naked. And only if they would read their own Bible, آدم علیہ السلام کا کیا حال تھا یا بنی آدم خذو زینتکم یا بنی آدم قد انزلنا علیکم لباسا یواری سوآتکم ریشا سبحان اللہ العظیم. So that is the reason why men are separated from women, not in any way that they are inferior, and we have to explain that to them. That is why for women there is no Jumah Salat. Jumah ہے. No. A woman cannot perform Jummah at home, because one of the conditions of Jummah is that they have to perform behind a male imam. A male imam. Ek sharait mein se, condition mein se. And at home this condition is not there. So they have to perform Zuhur Salat. Unless they go to a masjid to perform Jummah, then they will read Jummah Salat behind the appointed imam. Likewise, for women there is no Eidain, Salatul Eid. Eid al-Fitr ki namaz is only for men. Eid al-Azha ki namaz is also for men, not for women. So there is no Jumu'ah and there is no Jama'at for women. According to the Fuqaha of Ahnaf, for women to do Jama'at, it is makruh. It is makruh. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh holds a different opinion, but majority of the people here are Hanafi, and we can concentrate on the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. According to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, it is makruh. So there is no jama'at also for women. It is not jais for a woman even to recite Qur'an Kareem in a loud tone, even when she is performing salat in the house. They say, like in Maghrib, the imam, what would happen if I say Allahu Akbar in Maghrib Salat and stay quiet? You people will be wondering, what namaz are we praying? And someone should say, Subhanallah, remind the imam sahab, ki we are performing Maghrib Salat. Hafiz sahab ka kissa pata hai na aapko? Tarawih was a newcomer in India. He completed his Quran and an opportunity was given to him, mashallah, to perform Salat, Taraweeh. And Taraweeh is not easy. When he went into Sajda, he was so scared, he was reciting the next page in the posture of Sajda, and the ayats were not coming into his mind, so he stayed in Sajda, and there was a window open there, he just jumped out of the window, and all the Muslims की हालत में, इंशाल्लाह ऐसा नहीं करेंगे हम खान साहब। होंगे मुसल्ली वह इंस्टीट्यूट, अब कोई होंगे कोई शरीर आदमी, सम ऑफ द पीपल यू नो दे गेट वेरी एजी अबाउट थिंग्स लाइक दैट, व्हाट सुभानअल्लाह व्हाट काइंड ऑफ अ सूफी साहब ही जस्ट डजंट वांट टू कम आउट फ्रॉम सजदा, कुछ हाल है, एंड टू समवन फ्रॉम द बैक पीप्ड पीप्ड टू सी इज द इमाम साहब, बेचारे नौजवान a young person hafiz just finished and he was so scared, subhanallah, and until obviously the namaz was nullified, they had to repeat everything and they found the hafiz sahab eventually, and it was not his fault also, nawjawan, some of them are 15 16 17, there is no experience in some localities, for him to do that it is wrong, but obviously you can excuse him. So there is no Jummah, there is no Jamaat. Some of the ulama have given ijazah. For an example, the fuqaha of Hanabila, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, for them it is, they go as far as saying it is mustahab, like in the month of Ramadan, if there is a hafiza, if a lady who knows the Quran by heart, then women can perform Jamaat behind them. That is with some of the fuqaha. And the dalil for that is that Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha and other sahabiyat would gather in a house and they would do imamah, they would perform salat in the jama'at manner. Some of the fuqaha have even said that if a lady recites the Quran loudly, her namaz is not valid. Her namaz is not valid because the voice is also parda. Voice is also parda. That is why some of the women who have this habit of casually talking, even while the face is covered and parda is there, but yet they talk very neatly in front of a ghair mahram. We can ask the fuqaha and the muftiyani izam, to what level, to what degree is that jaiz? So this is the masla of women performing salat in the masjid. If all the conditions are met, then it is jaiz for them, but it is more rewarding for the women to perform salat in their own private homes. Obviously, the masajid that are built nowadays don't have that facility. But in one city, you might get one or two masajid. In the Muslim world, in the Arab countries, that facility is there. That is why a lot of the times, our brothers who come from the Middle East, when they come here, they say to me, Ayn al-Nisa, why do you stop the women coming? Why do you stop the women coming? Uska kya jawab de? Subhanallah. And then you have to sit and then you have to explain to them, because their culture is so different. They have the facility. The masajid there, they have, mashallah, all the facility. Big masjid, women on one side, men on one side, and it is jaiz. But the fuqaha, even now, the Arab scholars are giving fatwa that it is better for them to read namaz in their homes because of the fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Whilst we are on the subject of namaz, a lot of the musalli that come to the masjid, they are sometimes very, very neglectful from basic things in salat, which they think that the way they have performed salat is correct. But in fact, in a way, they have missed out from something that is wajib. Something that is wajib. And they are not aware of it at all. So it is important. The first question from Huququllah that we will be asked on the day of Qiyamah is regarding Salat, Namaz. So we have to make sure the Namaz has to be perfect. Subhanallah, if we want to give a gift to someone who is honorable, we will do the packing properly, we will buy something expensive, because that person in front of you is honorable. So even the gift that you give him should be to his status. Subhanallah, we are presenting our namaz to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a gift. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our salat? That is why we have the fara'is, the wajibat, the sunan in namaz. So the namaz can be balanced properly. Qawma and jalsa in namaz is what? Wajib. Kya kehte? wajib. If I'm going to stand up to show you, I have to stand up with all these gadgets. One, two, inshallah, just stand up. Any volunteers? Jazakallah. If you go in ruku for me. Now this is mashallah, perfect ruku. Now when you stand up from ruku, can you stand up? This position is called qawma. If you sit at the back and monitor people performing the sunnah salah, and if you have pen and paper to write their names, to see how many people have completed their qawma, you will see that we'll have a massive list of names that their qawma is incomplete. And even before standing up straight, they want to dive into sajda. Literally, walana, dive into sajda. So this is qawma. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, this position is wajib. Please don't forget. Na bhule. Apne bachon ko bhi sikhaye. Apni masturat ko bhi sikhaye. This posture is wajib. Or ruku is farz, sujood is farz. But this is wajib. So if you miss out from this clean position, standing up straight, erected like this, you have missed out from your wajib. If you are in a rush, subhanallah, complete your work and then perform your sunnah. Kya hai? Itni bhi rush kya hai? Unless you go home and perform your sunnah. Jazakallah. And, fasteeni jo ye. And jalsa is to sit in between the two sajda. So if you go, this is sajda, the first sajda, and mashallah, that's it. And sit. This jalsa again is wajib. Isme bhi kotahi ho rahi. A lot of the brothers, mashallah, the sajda, very, very quickly. Some of the people who are old, they feel that because of our age, we are somewhat immune from all this wajibat and the farais. No. If you are healthy, some of the old people are even more healthy than the young people. Khan sahab ko dekha man. Alhamdulillah, Allah tandrusti de. Shifa de. Alhamdulillah. You have to sit properly. That is wajib. Hamare akabirin, aslaf, if you see how they perform salah, mashallah, with great ease they go into sajda, stand up and sit again. There are also tasbihat you can pray. Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli. Another tasbih, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi. So this is wajib. Don't miss out from your wajib. When you perform your salah, make sure you perform your qawma and you perform your jalsa properly. Another very, very important masala. When the imam is in ruku, we get people rushing. They come, I won't say sprinting, come very, very quick to get that posture with imam, to meet the imam in ruku. A lot of people have this habit. Imagine I'm standing and the imam sahib is in ruku. Straight away, Allahu Akbar. Now, one thing that he has got, mashallah, his rakat, because he found the imam in ruku. But namaz hi nahi. His namaz is not valid. His namaz is not valid. Why? Because qiyam is farz. Qiyam is farz. When you say Allahu Akbar, that is takbir-e-tahreema. So you say Allahu Akbar, okay, you can omit Subhanakallahumma Sana for the time being. So if you say Allahu Akbar, that is takbir-e-tahreema. After takbir-e-tahreema, you have to do qiyam. Ek lamhe ke liye bhi kyun na ho, qiyam is farz. And generally, a lot of people don't realize, they forget the takbir, Allahu Akbar. They go straight down. And there is no qiyam. If there is no qiyam, then there is no salat. Qiyam is farz. Your namaz is not valid. Subhanallah. What will happen? You will only miss one rakat. You will miss only two rakats. You will only miss three rakats. What will happen? But pray with ease. Say, Allahu Akbar, takbir tahreema, Allahu Akbar. Stand for a bit. And then go down in ruku. And if you find the imam and yourself in that one posture, at least to the limit of one Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, then you have the rakat. If you are saying Subhana and the Imam Sahib stands up, you haven't got that rakat. If you say Subhana Rabbiya and and the Imam Sahib has said Sami Allahu liman hamida, you haven't got that rakat. You and the Imam both in ruku to that time limit of at least one Subhana Rabbiya al-Azim or Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la, sujood ki jo tasbihat hoti hai, at least to that limit. If you say one tasbih, that means you have one rakat. Is mas'ale ko achhi tarike se samjhe mere azizo, taaki hamari namaz kya hai, kharab na ho. Another important masla is about people coming to the masjid, Allahu Akbar, without tawfi. Without tawfi. Subhanallah. And in some of the pro, you know, what do you say, Hindustani masajid, if you're not wearing a topi, you see. Masjid e Umar mein to chalta hai, bhai. Liberal minded people. All are welcome. All are welcome. So you get people who don't wear topi. Now, one, what is the hukam of topi? In the Arabic language, topi is known as qalansuwa. A lot of people say, oh, where is it in the hadith qalansuwa? Topi is in Bukhari Sharif. Topi is in Bukhari Sharif. I personally came and noted it before coming here, qalansuwa. Anyone is welcome to see Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. Qalansuwa means topi. Is topi, what is the hukam of topi, qalansuwa in your salah? Allama Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, a great buzru, not only is he recognized, mashallah, by the ulama of Hindu-Pak, of the subcontinent, but he is well known in the Arab world. A man who has written a famous book of Talbis Iblis. And in Talbis Iblis, Shaykh Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh says, let alone in namaz, even outside namaz, for any Muslim to walk bareheaded, it is makruh. It is makruh. Because now it has become a fashion, short back and sides, or you have short hair from here and spiky hair. Spiky hair. MashaAllah, with spiky hair he is there walking. It is a fashion. It's spiky. So it is a fashion. So you are following a trend. And because of that it is makruh. Generally, Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi says that no, a Muslim should wear topi. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, not only was he a great Sufi, but he was a great muhaddith of his time and a great mufassir of his time. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi even gives a fatwa that even outside namaz, if you don't cover your head, it is makruh. It is makruh. So what is the condition of salat? Aap hi faisla kar le. Some of the mufassireen, in this ayat-e-kareema, where Allah says, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. This is ayat-e-kareema, verse of the Quran. Some of the mufassireen under this ayat-e-kareema have said, which is translated as, O Muslims, beautify yourselves, purify yourselves when you go and perform sajda, when you go to the masjid. And beautifying yourself, muhaddiseen and mufassireen have even said, it is to cover your head. It is to cover your head. And the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always, that when he would stand on the musalla, he would wear an amama. He would wear an amama. Amama alan kalansuwa, amama with the topi. Sometimes there was a handkerchief or a cloth in the inside part of the topi, because Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put olive oil in his auspicious hair zulfa, and so to avoid the stain to go directly on the amama, there was a special cloth in the inner part of the topi. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put that cloth, then the topi, and on top of the topi, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam would tie his amama. And this is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why, this is not a fatwa of someone who is from the Alum Devban, no. Ulama-i Ahnaf are of the opinion that To perform salah without your topi, it is makruh. They classify wearing the topi in salat as being the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have his amama, then he had his topi mubarak. So this is very, very important. Another masla is about your izar. We have a lot of brothers coming into the masjid quickly when they have completed their wuzu. They have this habit of folding the izar above their ankle. And the minute salam is done and when they put on their shoes, slowly it's unfolded and the trousers comes down again. Some of the ulama said that this is gunah-e kabira. You don't have to be naraz, my respected brothers. I am just a mouthpiece explaining to you what I have read from and the knowledge that we have been given by our scholars, our teachers, what is recorded in the kitab, what is in the hadith. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one sahabi, his trousers was well below his ankle. Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam said to him, "Abi bhai, stand up." And the companion stood up. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Lift your izar up." And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that your izar should be halfway from your kneecap until your ankle. This much. Then Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that otherwise it should be above you. The second stage is it should be above your ankle. So brothers who are not wearing kurta, sometimes it can be difficult to have izar as high as that. But at least above your ankle. In the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at three types of people. Allah will not look at them. From the three, one is that individual who has this habit of where his trousers is always dangling down and it is subhanallah above, underneath, dragging down to his ankle, niche. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at him. There is a hadith recorded in Abu Dawud Sharif where Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a companion performing salat. He completed wuzu, he came to the masjid and he was about to say Allahu Akbar. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, stop. Go and do wuzu again. He went, he performed wuzu again. Again he was about to say Allahu Akbar. Huzur alayhi salam said to him, stop, go and do wuzu again. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam ka hukam bhai. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's order, sahaba would not say why. Even if he had to go 100 times, the companions would go. He came again, did wuzu, was about to say Allahu Akbar, did not realize what his fault was. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, go and do wuzu again. Hazrat Abu Huraira was sitting next to Huzur alayhi salam. Talib-i-ilm is talib-i-ilm student. They have this habit of asking. That is why Musa bhai was saying that when I went to meet marhum Maulana Abrarul Haq sahab on his door between Asr and Maghrib in India, it said that no visitors allowed. No visitors. Now Musa bhai came from England. He knocked on the door, he says, "Hazrat, I am from England, so and so. I want to come. I've come specially now to meet you and I'm going." Hazrat met him. He said to Musa bhai, "You know why I don't allow anybody to meet me from Asr to Maghrib? Because this is the time I have a list of questions from all the students, while lecturing the hadith. They have questions in the mind and they have written all that ishkal. And in this time, Asr to Maghrib, I read all their questions and when I go back, I have to answer every student. I have to answer." So student ka kaam hi. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, "Ya Rasulullah, Sahabi has done wuzu several times. Why?" Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that he has done wuzu and he wants to perform salah, but his izar is very, very low. Allah does not accept the salat of that individual whose izar is as low as that. Isliye, mere azizom, thori si takleef, bit difficult. When you come in the masjid, you lift up your izar. Alhamdulillah, that is khair. But do it permanently. Kya kare? Do it permanently. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the tawfiq. Slowly, slowly, my respected brothers. The ulama has said that this is a sign of kibr, takabbur. Those who have the trousers underneath, dragging down underneath, going down, passing the ankles all the way down, covering halfway down and covering the shoes, that is takabbur, that is kibr. The only ijazat was given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And this ijazat was only to him by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fuqaha ahnaf are very, very strict about this. Another masla, my respected brothers, is when the Imam Saab finishes Suratul Fatiha, a lot of the Hanafis don't say Ameen. A lot of the Hanafis don't say. It is the Arab brothers who remind us constantly, they say Ameen. But yet our Hanafi brothers are, let the Imam Saab work on his tongue. Hum kyun takleef uthaye? Ameen bolna, it is a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only difference is that some of the fuqaha say that to say Ameen loudly is sunnah, and some of them say no, it is better to say it in a low voice. Imam Abu Hanifa, the fuqaha ahnaf say it is better to say it, because it is a dua, it is better to say it in a low tone. So aista, make sure when the Imam Sahib says walad dalin in his fajr, in his maghrib, in his isha, at least say Ameen. At least say Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. There are so many other masail, inshallah. Possibly some other time when we talk on the subject of salat, we can cover all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Durushayfa Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين